Remember, redemption's here, where
you may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning.
Together for the choir. We're going somewhere about to happen. Something wonderful, something glorious. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you very much, choir. God bless you. Let's continue to encourage them. Because today is Resurrection Sunday, we're just going to have a very brief word of exhortation. If you'll please bow your heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, as we spend the next few minutes just to look into your word, to behold ourselves in the mirror of your word, Father, I pray. Now, Lord, as we spend these few minutes, Lord, by your spirit, you will quicken our hearts. You will quicken your word in our spirit, that, Lord, your word will come alive in us, that we will receive a revelation of your word that will cause us to be doers of your word. This I have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. The title, if you love to give title for my brief exhortation today, is What Are You Seeking? What Are You Seeking? And I want us to take our text from John chapter 20, from verse 1 to 16. This text speaks for itself, you know, and I'm just going to make a quick, a few points around it, and then I will step aside so we can move on with the rest of the service today. John chapter 20 from verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. This is John the Beloved, is the one writing, and that's how he likes to describe himself. To the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. I want you to underline that, if that Bible is yours. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. You can underline that phrase as well. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre. The first one did not go in, is looked in. The second one came, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. May God make your life a witness to others in the mighty name of Jesus. And seeth two angels. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus Christ had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they had taken away my Lord, and I know not where they had laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. May the Lord address you by your name. In the name of Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. How deep you walk with God is determined by what you are seeking. If you are not seeking anything very significant, once you get what you are seeking for, the tendency is that you will stop seeking. Because there's no one that keeps looking for what they have found. So how deep your walk is going to be with God is going to be determined by what you are seeking. At the tomb, the story that we just read, we see three characters in this story. And we see three categories of situation in this story. The characters in this story that I want to focus on, at least the human beings that are involved, are Peter, John, and Mary. The Bible tells us in verse 4 or verse 3 that Mary went and called Peter and John. She went to tell them that the master, the stone that was covering the tomb had been removed. Say, and I don't know what they have done to him. So she ran, because she couldn't help herself, she ran to the people that she thought might have answers. So she ran to Peter and to John. But guess what they did? As soon as she told them, they took off and they left her behind. What I want to tell you this morning is that it doesn't matter how many people have gone ahead of you and have seemingly left you behind. The race of life is really not determined by how fast you can run. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, it says, I have seen under the sun that the race is not to the swift. The fact that somebody can run and they can accomplish a great deal of things sooner than yourself does not mean you are behind. We see here, she came to report to them, and the two of them took off running and they left her behind. And John was faster than Peter. You can understand Peter from Bible historians. They tell us he was a much older guy. So John outran him and John got to the tomb first. But listen to this. What you are seeking determines how deep you will go. John, all he wanted to confirm was that the stone indeed had been removed. So as he ran and he got to the tomb, he saw the stone had been removed. He stayed put. He didn't go any further. Remember, what they were seeking was Jesus. But an empty tomb was enough for John. The Bible says Peter came after John. When Peter got there, Peter looked, he saw the empty sepulchre, and he entered therein. He went a step further, and he got into the tomb. Not only did he see the empty tomb, he saw the linen, he saw the napkin, he saw more detail than John. He went a little further. The Lord will take you a little further. This Resurrection Sunday will take you deeper into the things of God, will bring you closer to Jesus. Many people, you know, Easter, when they talk about Easter, I don't want to go into the controversy of Easter. You know, when we talk about Easter, in America, very easily things are commercialized. So Easter has become Easter bunnies, egg hunting. That is what we talk about in Easter. So many people, unfortunately, have started to seek for superficial things and don't go any deeper with God. But Peter, when Peter got to the tomb, he saw the empty tomb and he entered into the sepulchre. And when he saw all the linen, it was enough for him. Okay, I confirm that he has risen. Peter and John went back home. The Bible says they went back to their own home because they were satisfied that they saw an empty tomb. But one thing you must realize with the story of Peter is Peter became an encouragement for John. I pray that your life will be a witness that is encouraging others to be better in God. When John, standing at the entrance of the tomb, looking in and seeing the empty tomb and satisfied, when he saw Peter going further, he went with him further. Do you know the reason some people are not saved today is because they have seen other Christians living the life that they are not supposed to be living? Their life is witnessing, but it is witnessing a negative gospel. I pray that you will rethink today and you will ask yourself the very important question. What gospel is my life preaching? Because one way or another, my life is preaching something. It might not be preaching Jesus, it might be preaching Jesus, but every life is saying something to the people that are looking at that life. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, it says, Solomon wrote, he said, I went by the field of the sluggard, and I saw his field totally messed up. The fences were broken down. The fields were overgrown with thorns and thistles. You know, the problem with the sluggard was the sluggard did not see himself. It was not the sluggard reporting his story. It was somebody else looking at him that was reporting his story. A lot of times we don't see ourselves as we are. We see ourselves as we would like to be. But it's important that we see ourselves the way we are. But the point here is that the life of Peter became an encouragement for John and took John deeper. But the more important point that I would like to make here is the life of Mary. Even though they outran Mary, they got to the tomb, they saw an empty tomb, still they did not see Jesus. But they were satisfied. But Mary got to the tomb, and she sat there at the tomb, and she would not go anywhere. She sat with the stone removed, and she kept weeping. She kept weeping. She kept weeping. Where is my master? Where is my savior? I know he is risen. I know the tomb is empty. I know he is no longer dead. I know that for sure. But where is he? I seek the master. I seek the savior. I don't want anything superficial. I don't want an experience and just worshiping and just seem like I am moving in the air. I want Jesus. I want to encounter Jesus. That was what she wanted. So an empty tomb, a proof of his resurrection, was not enough for her. She said, I know for a fact this is proof that he is risen, but that I may see him. I would rather see him and have an encounter with him, and nothing else will satisfy me. For us today, what that means is it is not enough for me to be called Christian. My name can actually be Jesus, Jesus. But I'm not satisfied with me bearing his name. I want to live for him. I want my life to show forth his praise and his glory, that when people see me, they begin to talk about Jesus just because they have seen me. Mary sat at the tomb and began to weep. And you will notice her experience, because of what she was seeking, her experience took her deeper. She went into the sepulchre. She saw everything else the other guys had seen. She saw an empty tomb. She saw the linen. She saw the napkin. But then she saw two angels. If you are a superficial person, you will always wonder when spiritual people are talking. You say they are lying. When did God speak to you? And God told me this morning. Which God? God didn't tell you anything. Why? Because you are superficial. But can I tell you something? How many of us parents here don't talk to our children? I love talking to my children. If I am a child of God, then necessarily God will speak to me. If I don't hear God, it's not because God is not speaking. It's because there is a blockage between me and God. It is impossible for a parent not to instruct their children. So Mary sat at the door, and she entered, she saw everything, and then she saw two angels. The Bible says she saw one angel at the head of the bed and another at the foot of the bed. And they said to her, say, woman, why are you weeping? And she said what she has been saying before time. Her story did not change. You know, some believers, they are circumstantial believers. What they believe depends on the situation. If there's nobody opposing, they speak about Jesus. If there are people opposing, say, well, you know, God knows those who are serving him anyway. They just adapt and adjust because they don't want to, they can't confront anybody. They just want everybody to be their friend and like them. Circumstantial believers. But her story did not change. When the angel spoke to her, she said, I don't know where my master is, and I am seeking for Jesus. What are you seeking today? There's going to be a lot of eating today. You know, it's a family day, family fun. We go visit. We hang out with friends. We eat. We dine. But what are you seeking? She said, I am seeking Jesus. All I want is Jesus. And nothing else will satisfy me until I see Jesus. Because she was importunate, she would not give up. Jesus appeared to her. Friends, if you hang on to God and you say, Lord, it's either I have Jesus or I have Jesus. So my option, I don't have options. If my option is just one, Jesus or Jesus. And then Jesus appeared to her. First, he said, woman. He saw that this one is a dangerous believer. And then he addressed her by her name. May you find Jesus today. I said, may you find Jesus today. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm out of time. I want you to please rise to your feet. Please rise to your feet and talk to the Lord. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Say to the Lord, say, Lord, touch my heart. Feel my heart. Quicken me in my inner man. Quicken me today, O Lord. Quicken me today, O Lord, that I may go deeper. That I may go deeper. That I may go deeper. That I may walk deeper. Lord, I don't want to be superficial anymore. But Lord, this Resurrection Sunday, resurrect your spirit and your life in me. In the mighty name of Jesus, that my life may show Jesus, that my life may witness Christ, that my life may show forth your praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. I give you praise. I give you glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. How deep you walk with God will be determined by what you are seeking. If a person was sick in their body and all they want is Jesus, heal me. Once you are healed, the fervency disappears. If somebody is looking for a wife, a husband, and that is all you are doing, seeking Jesus, when you find that spouse, your fervency fizzles out. If a person is seeking prosperity, the moment he gives you that prosperity, your fervency fizzles out. But love the giver more than the gift. Because with the giver, there is so much more. With the giver, there is so much more. Say, fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your power. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Peradventure, you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm just going to ask you, right there where you are, I'm going to ask you to make this confession. It's between you and him, and he knows. He knows. And I'm going to ask you that after service, you wait to talk to one of us. You are here this morning, say, my experience is not what you have talked about like Mary. Say, but I want to go deeper. I want to know Jesus. I want to seek Jesus. I want you to make this confession and say after me, I say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I come just as I am. I come because, Lord, I know you are plenteous in mercy. You are a gracious Father. I come as I am. I confess my sins of thought, of deed, of speech. I confess my rejection of you and your name. Have mercy on me. I want to live for you. I want to show forth your praise. I want my life to be a witness for you. Help me, Lord Jesus. I confess with my mouth, Lord Jesus, that you came, you walked this earth as a man. You died, and on the third day you rose from the dead. I believe this with my heart. I confess it with my mouth. And I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Reign in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have sincerely prayed that prayer this morning, I want you to know that God has given you a new name. And God has become your father. But there are certain things that you need to know, foundation. And there's a class that we have started, 10 to 10:30, every day. Praise the Lord.